Tonight with Randy Tye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, Deland Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Jumping the gun. We're actually 2 weekends away from New Smyrna Speedway, Volusia Speedway Park, although this week is the Orlando Speed World opens up. Last week, Columbia Motorsports Park up in Lake City opened up to a standing room only crowd, which if you listen to all of the experts today, that's just something that's pretty unusual. So we're glad to hear that. We hope to be able to get either Don or Sandy Nerone on a little bit later. We didn't get to expand very much on that. Don Nerone and Sandy Nerone recently purchased the Columbia Motorsports Park up in Lake City. Don and Sandy are well known in the local short track racing world. They also are heavily involved with the Sunbelt Super Late Model Racing Series, as well as some other touring series. I guess they're racers for life. I think that's the way to put it. They've got an awful lot of experience. They've done some things well. They've done some things not so well. But as a result, they're, well-tested and are well-equipped and ready to make this Columbia Motorsports Park program work. I've talked to them both, and one of the things they keep saying, they both say it independent of one another, is how much they appreciate the people up in and around the Lake City area. They really, really enjoy those folks, and it's almost like the passion is as much for the people of Lake City as it is for the racetrack and the business venture itself.
Well, the people up in the Lake City area, this is on US 41, and on the same stretch of county road, just a few miles to the north, you can actually go to a dirt track. So, I mean, Phil and the gang have got the Lake City Speedway up there. Of course, Columbia Motorsports Park, formerly owned by Robert Harding Bascar, successful little racetrack for many years. Nice little smooth half-mile asphalt track. We went up to the Cecil Williams Memorial that Patrick Williams had put on late in 2007 and got rained out. But just great little track. And those of you that are wondering just exactly what capacity. What are you doing, Mark? What are you doing?
There you go. Okay, he's back.
If you're wondering at what capacity Don will continue to work with the Sunbelt Super Late Model Series, he's going to still be very involved.
Oh, very much. Yeah, it's kind of like that's like his baby. He kind of got this Sunbelt thing rolling again and has developed several of the touring series. And it's, Don rules that with an iron fist. And I say that with affection. I don't mean it in a dictatorial way, but he embraces that series and all of the other things that go on. I mean, he does the Chrysler Ramas and those kinds of events. So this isn't replacing some element of Don and Sandy's schedule. It's actually in addition to their schedule, although they've got a vested interest, and I think that's good for them. You know, Sandy and Don are an interesting combination. And I think if they were both sitting here, they would both agree with this. Sandy maybe would argue a little bit because she's very humble, but she's probably one of the kindest, sweetest, gentlest people that you'll ever meet. Cares, her heart is bigger than this building, and it shows. Don has that same side of him. But it never shows.
It doesn't.
Don's a very tough guy. My first experience racing with Don Nerone was about a 30-minute toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose, saliva-to-saliva, if you will. I mean, it was flying back and forth.
Billy Martin classic.
Oh, it's funny because, I played sports my whole life, and particularly in baseball. That's generally where you have the best opportunity for those toe-to-toes. I always thought that was a bunch of baloney. I said, you know, some of this stuff's contrived. There's no way you can get that close to somebody and just scream at each other and somebody not get into a fight and fists start flying and something happened. I said, that's impossible. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not impossible because I am a living proof that it can happen. And I did that with Don Nerone for half an hour, and I want to tell you the argument was over about 15 times. And every time I thought the argument was over, he'd say something to light me back up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was just – I think one of the things about him is he likes to argue.
Oh, yeah. I've worked with Don a lot. You've worked and raced for Don, worked with Don.
All capacities.
Yeah, you've been around him in every possible direction. But I had probably the best conversation with Don Nerone just a few months ago at Rick Bristol's Charity Truckers 200 out of Speed World. His son was driving. Don's son was in a truck, struggling that night, just really had a tough go of it. But Don and I sat in the infield during the event. I was working the pit lane and the trackside stuff, and it was just so cool, man, to be able to sit there and talk to him. I learned a lot about him, a lot about his past, his history, his family, and his other son. And it was just a really neat conversation I had with Don.
You know, I would say most people would not describe Don Nerone as compassionate, but I do. I think he's a very compassionate
Absolutely.
Human being, and that's the side that a lot of people don't see. And I want to say something else. I give Robert Hart a great deal of credit for the little New Smyrna Speedway that we built inside the New Smyrna Speedway. But I was having a conversation. We had a meeting. Mark Martin and myself and Jim Neves, and we were kind of talking about this whole little quarter midget racetrack idea. And my idea was, well, you know, there's all this unused room up at the top of the speedway, which was outside the speedway, or the parking area that is between the mud run track over at New Smyrna and the main speedway. And I'm thinking, well, you know, this stuff doesn't get used very often. What a better way to use the property and the ground but to put in this quarter midget track. But so anyway, I'm sitting there after we've had our preliminary meeting, I go and sit down with Don Nerone, and I said, I need to talk to you. We got this idea, and I think I can bring a lot of people to the table. It shouldn't cost you much, if anything, if you'll give us the dirt. And I told him where the dirt was, and he said, well, yeah, that's a good idea. We could probably do that, but you're going to have to build restrooms and where you're going to get the water, and you're going to have to run electric and so on and so on and so on. And he said, how about if we put it down in between turns one and turn two inside the big track? And I went, wow, that just saved a bundle. I mean, literally that probably saved somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000.
Sure.
And I said to him, I looked at him and I said, I didn't think of that because I just never thought you'd do that. He says, it's the best thing we could do. You get the kids in and around the big track and their parents, and it's the right thing to do, and we don't need all this extra stuff. We already got electric. We've already got restrooms. We've already got concession stand. You know, yada, 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 yada. And you know what? I would venture to say that had he not done that, I'm not so sure that the quarter midget track today would be anything more than an idea that had passed.
And he's got ideas, let me tell you.
He by that one move, gave me just enough motivation and just enough insanity to believe that I could go put the arm on all these people to participate where we could get this thing done with virtually no one person out of pocket very much money. And that's what happened. And that was an incredibly compassionate thing for him to do. I also think, from a business sense, a very wise thing. And of course, Mr. Hart agreed and was not only was – once we agreed, Mr. Hart was, when are we going to get this thing done? When are we going to get this thing done? We hadn't even turned a shovel full of dirt yet.
Yeah, you know? Well, I hope we could talk to him tonight. But a lot of stuff going on locally, Randy, of course. Ocala Speedway opened up with this first event on dirt, going back to its roots. You know, you sigh over there, but let me tell you, they had 45 late models and parked all the way down to County Road 326. Amazing showing. The people were waiting for this.
No,
Billy will tell us about it. He went.
I think it. No, no. I think it. You know, anything that's going to make these short tracks successful, you know, obviously within reason. But I think it's great. I just think it's sad when you go to all that expense.
Yeah.
You know what it's cost to put asphalt down and then cover it up and back and forth.
But it's still there. He didn't tear it up. That's the good news.
Yeah, you know. But you know, let me just tell you this: Humpy Wheeler will tell you.
Yeah, that's
that
no
putting
easy
dirt
task.
On asphalt yeah. isn't. It isn't as easy as taking the dirt
I
back off.
So hopefully, we'll talk to Billy.
I don't think they haven't made an Oreck vacuum cleaner no, that big yeah. yet. Okay.
Also, out at our track, Volusia Speedway Park, right now as we speak, they're hosting the AMA National Hot Shoe Series. These are AMA Pro Motorcycle Racers. The flat track around the Super Half Mile. Lisa and I went out yesterday. Just a wonderful event. Tonight's the final night, so head that way if you can, folks. Listen to the program on your way, but features started about 7:30, so you've got time, but if you can, catch that AMA racing out at Volusia.
Well, we've got Gene sitting here waiting on us, so we're going to go ahead and cue you up, Gene. Let's see what's on your mind. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, and yourself?
Good,
Gene,
thanks
for holding, honey. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, guys. I'm just trying to listen to you and watch the story of the royal family from England. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
2 hour special on it. Tonight.
They finally got Harry out of Iraq over there.
Yeah,
so
and
safe.
He wants to go back. He
you
wants
know,
to go back too.
Yeah. Not that we're a political show, but I got it. I admire
me
this
too.
Guy. You know, and I also think I admire the people around him who try to make it happen. And you know, ultimately, he would have stayed, but he would have put all those guys in his company in serious harm because
yeah.
that,
oh,
that
yeah.
would have been a major target.
Exactly.
Sure. Well, he comes from a good family. His mother drove ambulance during World War II, so
wow,
hey,
got right there from his mother.
Can we do can we do this, Gene? Can we come back to you? Will you hold on?
Sure.
Billy's on a cell phone.
And Gene,
yeah,
I want to talk about Earnhardt's progress yesterday, and of course, Las Vegas and this new car. So
sure.
hang in there with us.
Oh yeah, well I'll hang.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. Hey, Billy.
Hey, what's going on, Phil?
Hey, big man.
How
thanks
are
for
you?
Calling.
What's going on?
How far back to back south are you?
I'm actually in fixing to go on an airplane at airport.
Hey,
oh, really?
Are you in Knoxville, Bill?
I'm in Knox. I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Now y'all went up a couple places, Crossville,
where
else y'all go?
You're gonna be following there, right?
We didn't. We went to stop by Atomic today. We was at Cooksville yesterday.
It wasn't bad.
Just looking around, you know, seeing what was going on. We was gonna try to make it to Gaffney yesterday, but we missed it. And we found out today that was a pretty good thing that we missed because halfway through the race they decided they was gonna grade the racetrack and. Randy Weaver told us today that it took him like 2.5 hours, so he left his house at 5 a.m. yesterday, and he got home at 2 o'clock this morning. So, but he said it was a successful deal. Jimmy Owens put it on him again. He's pretty hot this year, as you know, Joe.
Sure.
He won from the pole yesterday, but Weaver's dad told me he had checked out on the group and had him covered by almost a straightaway, and the rear end broke in the car.
Billy, you were able to go to Ocala on Friday night. We were just talking about that real quick. Give us your... just rate that event. I mean, I talked to you about it on Saturday morning and sounded very, very successful. Talk about that.
Well, you guys know me. I'm kind of picky when it comes
oh, yeah.
to tracks. But
and that's all right.
As far as rating the whole night, I would give him probably like a B-minus. I mean, he had the cars. He had a boatload of people. I mean, probably if I had to guess, I'd say close to 6,000 total.
Wow.
I know they've set out a number and said they had 4,000 in the grandstand. But, I mean, the last time I was to that place and it was standing room only, I'm 36. That's never happened before.
Wow!
And, you know, I went there a lot when I was a kid, but
sure.
I parked out on the road Friday night. But you know, like I told people, I walked around. I probably shook 500, 2,000 hands, whatever.
Sure.
And everybody asked me the same thing. You know, what do you think about this deal? I'm happy for Mike Peters. I think it was a good showing for him. It's a good thing. But also, too, people have to remember there was nothing else going on. It was a Friday night. It was leap year. This was a new series. Had 45 race cars. They had advertised 54, but. We talked about that before. Well,
somebody's just dyslexic. This dyslexic. That's
yeah.
all.
Right. Well, Billy, and many of those cars were from the Volusia contingent, right? A lot of the hobbies.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The show
night.
Was
right.
The show was really good. I mean, the racetrack got a little rough in turn one and two, but we sort of figured it was going to get rough. I mean, it probably needed to be walked in a little bit better, but it's the first night. I mean, everybody had to know it was going to be pretty rough, but. You know, when you get that many cars on the track and you only put a little bit of water on it, you're going to have that problem. You know, but they never been through this before. They're asphalt racers that went dirt racing. And, you know, to this, what I'm saying is for this to be a huge success like it was, this is where people have to understand that they have to move on from this. I mean, you're not going to get 6,000 people a week and you're not going to have 45 late models every Friday night. And that's what they have to understand, and I think Mike and them will understand it. But they entertained everybody real well. It was real good. It got over a little later than it should, but they're not used to having that many cars. They had 39 hobby stock cars.
Ooh, good Lord. It's wonderful. I think it's great for dirt racing in general, you know, short track racing. It's wonderful.
Well, like I told everybody that asked me the same thing, this is what I told them. It's something different. People want to see what it's like with the dirt on it. They want to go back and see that. It's a new series. It's something different. This has been needing to happen for a long time. He's been needing to put this dirt on this racetrack for a long time because I really think that when he went from dirt to asphalt, he lost a lot of race car drivers and he lost a lot of fans.
Yeah, he did.
But see,
he did.
And don't get me wrong, because Saturday night when Ivan and Lloyd got on the outside of Shane Williams, who became the eventual winner, everybody in the grandstand stood up. But I will tell you the most memorable moment for me Friday night was they went off in turns 3 and 4. There were 3 wide. The whole grandstand stood up. I've never seen them 3 wide at that place before.
Wow.
But except for the last time, it was dirt.
Sure.
So,
well, good.
You know, that's the whole key.
That's good.
You know,
Billy.
It's good for everybody, and there was a lot of Ivan and Lloyd fans there. For him to run second, that's real good.
Absolutely. We've got, of course, we talked about Columbia Motorsports Park. He opened up to a standing room only crowd up in Lake City, and we've got Don on the phone. He's going to check in with us. But, Billy, when's your flight? You about to load up?
I'm fixing to load up right now.
Well, man, we really appreciate you calling. You gave us good information on Ocala.
No problem.
Be safe, man. We'll see you tomorrow.
Safe trip, Billy.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, and I'll see you guys, and I'll talk to everybody next Monday.
All right, okay, Bill. See you.
And we've got
Billy heading home.
Yeah. Don Arone.
Hey.
Hey, man. Congratulations. I hear you had a bell ringer up there in Lake City.
I was just listening to the radio show there, just like he said, yeah, but that was the first night. And
got to keep it in perspective.
Yeah, keep it in perspective. That was the first night, fan appreciation night, and pretty much we always have a real successful night when we do that. And we had a great time, don't get me wrong, and I was as happy as I could be. It's nice to play to a crowd.
Don, when did you decide, you and, of course, collectively Sandy, to decide, hey, let's go ahead and buy a racetrack, and not only that, buy a racetrack, but Columbia? I mean, how'd this all come about, if you don't mind?
Well, other than Columbia, you couldn't make me buy another racetrack.
I hear you.
I was getting ready to say this. As much experience as you had in this, I'm going, what in the world? But okay.
Yesterday was my 60th birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I think that's number 5 for racetracks I bought. So,
wow.
I fell in love with that place the first minute I saw it. I've always liked it. I've had 2 friends of mine own it before me now, 3 friends own it before me now. And I don't know. I don't have a clue. I just love the place, and I thought I was done and figured I could retire. And doggone it, it's like a disease, you know.
You get the bug,
and they have not yet made an aspirin to make it go away.
So, I mean, with your relationship with Robert Hart, obviously you guys were able to come to an agreement, a term that you're both happy with. And if I know you, you got a pretty good deal on it.
Well, I think this is the other way around. I think Robert got a good deal. He always does.
I hear you. Oh, I hear that.
Well, I mean, to say this, he buys his Dodges from me, and
right.
I can tell you he's a pretty tough negotiator.
Oh, I know
he is. Okay, so and whatever he lacks, Sandy makes up for. So
well, good.
Guys, so Robert's been a dear friend of mine for about 30 years, and we're still friends, and I'm still working for him and still doing some stuff for him with the tours. And, you know, still responsible for some of the stuff, just not the weekly stock car racing. And Columbia hasn't gone that well, and he really did want to get rid of it. It's too far for him to drive to. And I'm telling you, every time I ever go there, I wonder why I want to leave. I don't want to leave. So, as a matter of fact, as I speak to you right now, I'm going across the forest on a cell phone to Columbia.
Okay. Hey, listen. You know, but clarify the role. I mean, obviously, we understand that you and Sandy own the racetrack up there. That's fine. But what does that mean? You still run the Sunbelt Super Late Model Series? What series are you involved in? What's your capacity with them?
I'm the director of all the series.
Which
all
are?
All of them. And, well, you saw it all the way from the bottom from Mini Stocks, Southern Sportsman, which we actually own that one. The Pro Modified Tour. The truck tour.
Yep.
And obviously the one that I think you're going to get to race in, the Goodyear Challenge Tour. Yeah. And, of course, Bob, obviously my favorite, the Sunbelt Series. I'm a super late model fan of all time.
It's a blast. We certainly, as you know, you invited Joe and I to do some of the TV stuff down at Lakeland, the USA International Speedway, at Billy Martino's deal. We had a good time, and we certainly, both Joe and I, really look forward to watching the super late models down there. It kind of drives me a little crazy. That was a tough role. That was a really, really, really tough transition for me to go up and try to do a broadcast when I wanted to be out there driving. And I think it looks like maybe from a scheduling standpoint, if we're doing TV down there this year at all, I'll be having to do wear one suit and then another rather quickly.
You pulled it off nice, man. I mean, not the suit, that is. I mean, you, the TV, you did a great job, man. I'm telling you.
Well, it's fun to do. It's fun to do it, but it's I think we've got some dates down there, don't we, Don? We're going to run together. I mean,
I don't think there's a Goodyear Challenge and Sunbelt date that's together.
Oh, I thought there was.
I don't think there is, but it's okay because if there is, we'll wire you up and stuff you in the car.
Nice. Very nice.
Well, that'd be all right with
me. A lot of yelling and screaming.
Hey, Don, let's talk about Columbia, the facility itself. I mean, a great racetrack. I was up there as recent as in the summer for the Cecil Williams Memorial. Facility-wise, what is in the plans? What's in your focus in the near future? I mean, track is in good condition. The facilities are decent. But what have you looked at that racetrack and said, this has to happen right away?
Well, I built a new tech area over the last 10 days. I got that straightened out, some new roads and stuff. The real big thing the thing needs the first major improvement needs to get the pits improved. The pits are pretty tough to get around. It's dusty, dirty. Trying to keep the dirt off the racetrack. You're talking about putting dirt on the racetrack earlier. Well, we got the opposite problem. We're going to keep the dirt off the racetrack. The racetrack has tendency to get dirty as people come in and out of the pits, and it makes it kind of tough. But uniquely, the way the racetrack is shaped, it's the sportiest half-mile racetrack I've ever been to.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they race side by side. I watched three late models swap the lead every lap for the last five laps to the checker flag, not knowing who's going to win.
The press release we got about that, Don, was it was just it read like a it read like a romance novel. It was exciting. I mean, I read it and I got all fired up just reading the press release.
It was something to watch, I'll tell you. But that racetrack has that nature in all the divisions normally because the fastest race car does not win the race. You take the fastest race car with the best race car driver in it, now you got something going on. A man with a sick race car that can drive can definitely hold him off.
Well, are we going to race up there? Is the Goodyear guys going to race up there?
Absolutely, not very far away either.
Okay.
And, you know, you talk about you being on the way there and it's too far for Robert, but the track is not that far away. I mean, relatively, for a guy like me that drives all day long, but, you know, just north of Ocala or just north of Gainesville, it's really not a bad ride. I mean, you're looking at, 2.5 hours from around here?
It takes me as long to drive up there as it does to wind down when I get home.
See? There you go, man. There you go.
Yeah, but you know what? I was commenting before, you maybe didn't hear it, but I said I was talking about our first experience together racing together. I never believed. I always thought that those umpire-manager arguments in baseball were contrived, that there was no way that two guys could stand toe-to-toe and nose-to-nose and spitting on each other for 10 minutes without fighting. I said, you proved me wrong. You know, we went 30 minutes. And every time, and I thought we were done 15 times. And every time I was out of breath and done, you wound me back up. So I don't believe you could ever get wound down, man.
Well, when I got here, I heard the only problem I was really going to have was going to be with Randy Dice. I figured I'd just get him to start with.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Don, real quick, talking about different drivers and personalities. Is your son going to get back in that truck for 2008?
Yeah, that was. The kid works his heart out.
Sure he does.
I work him 18 hours, 20 hours a day,
right,
6 and 7 days a week, chase around doing tires, and he wanted to drive the truck, and I figured he just ought to get through that.
Gotcha.
And he found out what it's like to be a racer and work about another 18 hours in the no time that he had to try to prepare a truck, made about 15 laps and broke, but he's a pretty good little racer.
No doubt. No
but
doubt.
He doesn't have time to race. I got too busy working him.
Don, you guys up there at Lake City now at Columbia Motorsports Park, every weekend? Is that the plan?
I'll be there every weekend except for the Crash-O-Rama schedule.
Yeah.
And the Sunbelt schedule. And that's about half the time.
But the track itself, you've got something going on every weekend between now and when?
Oh, it's all the way through November.
Okay.
There's a full schedule with tour races plus the weekly stock car racing. Probably in the next 6 or 8 weeks, I'll start working on the go-kart track that goes up front. And by the way, you'll get a kick out of this, Randy.
Okay.
I'm only going to build it about 650 feet around. Now, you know why.
Oh, yeah. Wow, okay. Good.
Okay?
Yep.
I'm going to build a small go-kart track for the kids.
And, yep.
And start hammering on that project, and who knows what's next.
Well, I don't know if you heard us talking earlier before you called, but I commented about, you know, if there's any one person, if you had to boil the quarter midget track down to one person being responsible for it happening, or not, without their involvement, that it wouldn't have happened, it was you. And, I think it was, some would say it was a great business decision. I would say it was a compassionate decision.
I'd take that shoe off and stuff it on you, though, because it wouldn't happen without you either. So, you made it a challenge. I bet you can't get it done kind of attitude. And I wanted it to be done, and I wanted it to work the right way. And God knows the two of us worked as hard at it as anybody could to make it happen the right way, and it did.
Yeah, it really did.
And the neat thing is it still survives.
Without us. That's even the better part.
When's the last time they called you to umpire a bunch of parents?
Oh, man. You know what I do right now? I sponsor that little race at the beginning of the year every year. And,
yep.
And every once in a while somebody calls for a little, I guess I'd call it historical
offering.
Advice. How's that? That's about it. But
Me too. I haven't heard a word from them in so long I forgot that they're there.
Yeah, I got a little note from Dan Partis the other day, and I appreciated that.
But I'll tell you what, if you want to get a kick, you want to understand what it's all about, you know, all of the people that are in stock car racing, they're all talented in doing something and they couldn't be there.
Right.
And most of them gave up their whole life for the passion of their sport.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those people, go watch a quarter midget racing.
Isn't that
if
the truth?
You don't get a kick out of that, you don't have a sense of humor.
Well, and you know what? And it's not even just about the sense. That's certainly part of it, but boy, it's competitive now.
Oh, you got little kids that you would think would be learning how to ride a bicycle, racing the wheels off of each other.
Yeah. Well, hey Don, you got a website up there at Columbia Motorsports Park?
.com, yeah.
Okay, .com.
See, that's I like that. Here's a guy that's not doing the www and all that. Thanks, Don.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Don. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. I hope to see you soon.
All right,
okay,
man,
see you.
We'll
see you now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good guy. And listen, did you hear the excitement in his voice?
He sounds very relaxed.
Yeah, but he's pumped up.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he's really, he's got some enthusiasm for all this, so it's really kind of cool. Okay, we've got Bob online, too. You're going to help us out. There we go. Hey, Bob.
Randy Dye, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. How's my old buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Man, I heard you guys talking about quarter midgets, and first, congratulations to Don and Sandy on your new speedway up there. I was up there last year. It is a beautiful racetrack.
Well, I haven't made it up there, but I it sounds like if I'm going to race in the Goodyear Series, we'll be there.
You'll be there, yeah.
I went up there. I've always been a Ricky Carmichael fan when he was racing Supercross, and when he made his first late model race, I went up there because my boys go to Gainesville now, up to school. And heck, we went up there, visited them, and then shot another, 20 minutes up the road, half hour to that track. What a beautiful track.
Well, that's what everybody says. I guess it's going to be worthwhile to go up there.
Definitely. I heard you saying about tracks opening next week. Little New Smyrna opens this Friday, opening night for the quarter midgets.
This Friday night.
This Friday night. And Randy, did you get a car yet?
I didn't.
Okay.
So we do have an opportunity. I guess that's what you got a couple ideas in mind?
Well, you know, I tried to hook you up with that one lead there. I don't know if you ever called them or not.
Nah, I got busy.
I know.
But I'm still definitely in that market.
Okay. Well, I just want you guys to know that this Friday it's our first race, and I'm still involved. I'm not on the board or anything. I still just go down there and love watching these kids race, and I do the announcing, and it's awesome. So if you... Anybody out there that hasn't been down to that quarter midget track, like Randy and Don said, just go down there, and I guarantee you, you'll be impressed.
You know what's interesting? First off, so that everybody understands, there is absolutely no admission charge for the to go see the quarter midgets on Friday night at New Smyrna Speedway. You drive across the racetrack at the pit gate and park inside. Go sit in the grandstand and watch the kids. Racing starts at 7:00.
6:30 now.
You back it up.
Yeah, we got so many cars.
Okay, that's good.
That's a good thing.
And let me tell you something else. You know, we talked about, I was really, I don't know if you heard me, Bob, say that I really don't believe that had Don Narone not been a part of this whole quarter midget thing, I think that there's one person that we couldn't have done without, it was Don Narone.
Exactly.
To get the project rolling and to get it so that it actually went from this idea that we had to a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make a comment, too. You know, it's people like yourself that sustain the project. I mean, obviously, when we did this thing, I don't think your kids were racing. It was a year or two, maybe even a little longer, before you got involved.
Right. Well, actually, we got involved in the first year in 01.
Okay.
The first full racing season.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, so you got involved, but your kids have long since been gone. I mean, your kids are in college now, and the racing age limit on quarter midgets is 16 years old.
Right.
So your kids have been in college for a while, and they're doing their thing, and yet you've stayed very much involved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that little league dad who becomes a little league coach because his kid's playing. You have a passion for the whole thing, and you know, and I'm grateful for people like yourself, and it's good that. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not picking on the parents.
I know.
That's not my point.
Right, I understand.
You know, I love the fact that the parents who have children involved that they also choose to work, to do the labor, to do the things that it takes to keep the organization going. But oftentimes, and you know as well as I do that when that time comes to an end. And then they move on with their child into some other endeavor, and you've chosen to stay involved. And I applaud that. I think that's wonderful, and thank goodness for people like yourself.
Well, thank you, Randy. That means a lot, and I tell you, when I drive down 415, my youngest son, Corey, retired in 2004. We were done. So this will be my fourth year of announcing down there. When I drive down Route 415, and before I get to that speedway, I just can't wait to get there. To watch these kids, because they're all my kids. You know, I've watched all these kids now start just about, because I've been involved with it, for 7 years now since the track's been there?
Yes, but
it's amazing.
So it's
like, I know all these kids, and it's like I watched them run their first junior novice race, and it's, you know, it's just, it's a part of me. I feel like I want to go watch them, you know? It's just, it's a great thing.
You're like a lot of coaches I had when I was growing up. I mean, I was fortunate. I'd have to say I never had a bad one. I had coaches that were their kids had long since been gone. I had coaches who didn't even have kids that ever participated in some of the sports that I played in, and you know, they did it for the passion and the dedication and the commitment to you know, just to their community. And mm-hmm. and I again, you are you know, one of several that I know that are doing a similar thing. You know, when I did this, I didn't have a child,
right,
who was going,
exactly,
to race quarter midgets. Didn't know that I was going to have one.
That's right.
And it was just, it's kind of like building a little league baseball field. You know,
yep,
you can't make that those little league baseball fields live on way past us.
That's right.
And they have a positive effect on the lives of, you know, people that we can't even begin to count. And and I watched the other thing that's cool about what you guys do down there. Is you do a great job of teaching sportsmanship, safety, respect, all of the things that are critical. They're life skills. They're not just about how to manage your way around a racetrack, but there are skills that you need to learn for a lifetime.
That's right.
And it's a huge contribution and a sacrifice of time and energy, and I applaud you for it. I also think sometimes we need to have the remedial classes for some of our parents. You know, we've been through that, but
yes,
that's just the passion showing up. You know,
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, but, again, if anybody out there listening has never been down to that quarter midget track, please come down there. We got our first race. It's a fun night this week, but our first points night is next Friday night. And come down, and I'll be up on the tower, and come over and say you heard of me on 11:50 on the Randy Dye Show, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you got, and hopefully you got a son or a grandson or a daughter or a granddaughter or a niece or anybody that wants to get in quarter midget racing. It's the best kept secret in the country.
Do we have a? Are we having a ceremonial throw out the first pitch or a throw out the first
Randy,
flag?
You know
or what?
If you show up down there at 6:30, we'll come up with something. How's that?
No. I was coming down to watch. I was,
okay.
I don't need to be recognized. As a matter of fact, it's better when I just kind of come there, show up, and then disappear.
But see the problem now, Randy. When you come down there, so many people, like you said, have moved on and they're not there anymore. So. When you come down here, I got to tell these people that if it wasn't for you and Don Nerone and Mr. Hart, that none of us would be there. Jim and everybody, that none of us would be out there having the times of our lives.
Well,
as I
told Don when we started, you know, every once in a while I get a call just about, I'd call it historical advice. It's not so much about the now as it is about the then. And that's because you guys have done just a phenomenal job. And, you know, Ralph still flags out there, right?
Well, actually, Ralph turned in his resignation a couple weeks ago because he got the job flagging Orlando Speed World on Friday nights.
Oh, so he's going to do both.
He's going to do Friday night at Orlando and Saturday night at New Smyrna Speedway. So I think he might do our first two. But we're going to really miss Ralph. Ralph's been there since day one, and... You know, he's the best of the best when it comes to quarter midget flagmen.
You know, he and his wife are a couple people like we just talked
exactly.
about. Exactly. You know, they have no children involved.
Right.
And have been involved from the beginning.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that's...
yeah, they do a great job.
You know, I'm going to get the... I've worked with Ralph all this time, and I'm actually going to get the race under Ralph's flag.
Are you really?
That's interesting.
So you're getting back in racing again.
We're
huh?
almost ready.
Are you really?
Yep.
Wow. So you're going to be racing New Smyrna or Orlando?
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
Now, Randy, remember, you got to make time for that quarter midget racing.
There's no question. I can promise you if one of them has to sit, you know which one it'll be.
You better be sitting.
Right. Exactly. That's for sure. Hey, Bob, thanks for calling.
Okay, Randy. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll see.
All right. Bye-bye.
And, Gene, you hang in here a long time.
What a great listener.
It's okay. Come on, guys. I enjoy the show and I love my racing. So
well, thank you.
We haven't ignored you. It's just been a busy
night. I know. I hear that. I hear.
Joe, you when we had to go off to some of the other calls, you started to talk to Gene. You wanted to talk about Junior and you wanted to talk about the new car and some of these things. And I've go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it was a great weekend at Las Vegas. This is one of the racetracks that, you know, I've been somewhat of a skeptic about, being one of the intermediate tracks at, you know, Kansas, Vegas, so many tracks alike, Michigan. But I'll tell you, bringing this new car out, this car of tomorrow, car of today, the new race car, I'll tell you, we didn't see it running on these intermediate tracks last year.
Right.
We saw it on super speedways and a couple of short tracks. One super speedway and some short tracks. But to see this thing operate at Las Vegas yesterday, I was impressed. The speeds, the strength of the race car, the way the race car obviously responds to the driver, the way they are able to just drive the car. I've been just really impressed with this new car. Certainly more after Las Vegas than even after California.
You know, I think... It's interesting. That's your perception. Before I speak, Gene, did you see the race on TV yesterday or no?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
What's your do you agree with Joe?
No.
Okay.
I still don't like that guy. I was watching, and not just Junior, but other drivers. My gosh, the way it fishtails reminds me of the Mustang when it first came out.
Well, okay. Here's,
all over the place.
Okay. Let's try to. And I think Darrell Waltrip alluded to this, and he's right. They are actually trying to get this car to turn.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me finish this out now. They're trying to get this car to turn using the right rear wheel to make it turn.
That's what's going flat yesterday.
And that's part of the problem. And if you saw the smoke coming off of Jeff Gordon's rear, you saw the smoke coming off of Mark Martin's right rear, any of the guys that were going pretty fast – And being able to really get it going through the corner had a little right rear issue, and the issue was because they're making it they're actually trying to get that car to bite off the right rear. If you listen to Darrell Waltrip, and this is true, they used to do all this trying to make the car turn off the right front, This is a completely opposite scenario. You know, it used to be you used the shocks heavily, and now they've got everything down on the bump stop. I mean, it's taken a lot of this stuff out of play. I was originally a complete, you know, I couldn't stand the look of the car, and I'm not so sure that I still.
I'm liking the look now.
Well, I guess I'm accepting the look.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know that I think that the car itself. I thought that the race yesterday was kind of like another little bit of a ho-hum. And the reason it was ho-hum was because there weren't that many guys contending at the end.
The reason it was ho-hum is because Roush Fenway is just unstoppable right now. I mean, Carl Edwards is just amazing.
There wasn't a lot of side-by-side racing.
There really was not. Okay. You're right. You're right about that.
And here's the reason. I mean, the reason anytime you see guys lining up in a single file like they did, it's because they're not confident. Okay? They're having to pick very carefully in their mind. They've decided they have to pick their spot very, very carefully where they're going to go around somebody. And I think that's an issue. They had... if you go back to when they tested at Vegas, the temperatures when they were testing out at Vegas, they were averaging in the middle 70s during the day. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yesterday it was 50.
Yeah.
You know, 50 and 55 degrees. The wind was blowing a gale, and once again, they come back to it, they put an inordinate amount of pressure on the tires. And
I haven't heard of any great repairs you ever do to a Rolls Royce or a Bentley.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, my granddaughter.
Okay, you're still with us.
Yes,
okay.
I'm listening. Okay.
Rolls Royces.
That's Joe's
Okay. Show Queen Elizabeth's stable of vehicles, Bentleys, Rolls Royces.
Okay, well, that's good. What numbers the Queen got on her car anyway?
I have no idea.
Okay, anyway.
All right, very well.
You know, they're asking the car, they're asking the tire to do more than it should. And if you look, almost every accident was a single car accident. The only accident that really collected anybody was the Jeff Gordon. He overdrove it in a corner. It was obvious. He knew it. Everybody knew it. And he barely touched Kenseth. And they have a wreck. And Gordon, you know, I will agree with you this. From a strength standpoint,
good Lord.
Because what a lick.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a hard... Yeah. I mean, it knocked the radiator completely out of the car and all the way across the racetrack.
And the car broke apart, and I guess it was made to do that. But, buddy, let me tell you, and Gordon said, I got two things to say to you, Bruton Smith, soft walls on the inside, and he said some other points, but unbelievable.
Well, you know, to his point, when you have a wide racetrack like that, you know, that's different than a Martinsville or a Richmond.
I think a lot of room to get going.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with
momentum.
You. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's any argument about that.
All in all, I think, you know, getting back to the car itself and just, you know, what the drivers, crews, and what they're asking, these are things that they're going to have to figure out.
Here's the thing that scares me, and I want to say it in advance. I think ultimately, I believe that they'll get this car right. I'm concerned when they go to places and they're getting ready to go to Atlanta, okay, and you cannot afford, I'll just say it right now, there is not a chance in the world that they can afford the right front tire problem in Atlanta that they had in Las Vegas. Somebody's going to get hurt if that's the case. I mean, the speeds are that much faster, and they're that way all around the racetrack in Atlanta. There's not a let-up point.
Right.
I mean, it is wide open, the fastest racetrack on the circuit, and if those right front tires do what they did yesterday, somebody's going to get hurt.
Right rears.
Well, and the right front blew up too.
Right front
that's
too.
True. And okay. Rears and front. You're
okay.
Right.
You know the Tony Stewart's was a right front. Kurt Busch's was a right front.
Wasn't Harnish was a back one again.
A back one. There's only two accidents all day yesterday that occurred from quote unquote racing. One of them was Patrick Carpentier and Ryan Newman.
Yeah.
And you know, Ryan Newman slid up. Carpentier was up there. Some blame Ryan Newman. I, you know, if I'm the driver of the 10 in that situation, it's real simple. You just lift a little bit. You don't wreck. Okay.
And the other one being
there's no wreck. And Jeff Gordon and Matt Kenseth.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Wow.
All the other wrecks were single car accidents due to somebody making a mistake, either the tire or you just drove it a little too hard into the corner. And you know, on the other hand, the one thing I like about the car, they definitely have a chance to catch it when they lose it. And that
seems to be.
There's more of that opportunity than I've ever seen. You know, with that low itty-bitty rear spoiler that we've had in years gone by on the Cup cars, those cars get sideways, it's over.
Right.
But that big spoiler on the back of the car, when it gets sideways, that big flange on the side.
Yes, yes. The big...
It gives the driver actually a chance to catch it. And, I mean, it drives the rear end right back down.
Sure.
And so he gets a chance to steer his way back out. So from that standpoint, I like it. But I'm not sure I like it competitively yet.
I do. Well, I think it's only going to get better.
I think it'll get better.
And man, you see this splitter on the front of it. It's on the racetrack. It's touching.
Well, you know
the track
why that's doing that? That's the whole thing with the shocks.
That's
they've taken
to the ground.
You look at the way the car is. Look next time. Really look at how rigid the car is. It looks like a straight axle go kart.
Yes. Yes.
Just hopping all over the place.
And they're two hand white knuckle. They really are. Hey, who's tired of hearing about Kyle Busch? Good Lord. I mean, now we're comparing him to Cale Yarborough,
Come on.
We talked about this, but, you know, Darrell Waltrip, Larry McGrath, that's all they talk about. Man, look at Kyle Busch now. He was feisty in practice. Now he's going to stuff it in there. I ain't never seen a guy drive like this. I'm sick of it.
Well, you know what? Let's see.
Let me say something, guys.
Go ahead. You saved me.
Okay. Right, talking about the different accidents yesterday, what scared me was when they replayed Jamie McMurray coming down through the grass. Man, that car had two wheels up, and I didn't see the roof flaps.
Well,
anybody notice that?
Yeah, they did, but it had two wheels up for a brief moment.
That's all it takes, Randy. Come on.
And it wasn't very high. I don't know. I don't.
It was.
If it had gotten up a little bit more, the roof flaps would have deployed. But the whole car.
I've never seen the roof flaps come up.
Okay, let me. I have. Lots of times.
They've been up for a while.
That whole car is designed to do what it did. It's not, you know, before the old car relied on two things, the roof flap and the side window. That's the only thing that kept that old car on the ground. This car, the whole car is designed to keep the car on the ground. And it
worked.
And I mean, I think that issue with Jamie McMurray worked. By the way, I'm going to tell you what, he's the next guy to be looking for a ride.
I hope not. I like Jamie, though.
That's just no inside information.
No, I hear you.
That's pure speculation.
See, Allmendinger may not be around, huh?
No, he's not around.
Oh, he's not? We're
already done.
Okay.
Red Bull, and I'm glad you brought it up, Red Bull Racing named Mike Skinner to do a quote-unquote temporary replacement for A.J. Allmendinger. And I think... this is one of those times I don't believe the statement's propaganda. I really do believe they're behind A.J. Allmendinger.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
They need to get him some help. And Skinner is certainly experienced and knows his way around and probably will help get that car in the race immediately and then be able to give A.J. some coaching.
Yes, and a nice thing for Kenny Schreddy yesterday. I was very happy he made the top 20 yesterday.
You know what? Schrader ran around in the top 15 all day
long. For quite
a while.
I know. I was watching him. And I've got to get my little dig in tonight. I was so happy for Mark Martin on Saturday. And he wins it in a JR car.
Wait a minute. Okay, that was wonderful. But you know Mark wrecked Carl Edwards.
Keselowski.
He admitted it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Carl said, look, we were having a good time. You know, we were throwing caution to the wind, no pun intended.
Yeah.
We were doing what we had to do. Hey, Mark wrecked them guys, man.
I know.
Apologized, but he wrecked them.
Oh.
Keselowski might have been able to hold off
it. That would have been wonderful.
How many laps were left? Seven? When this happened?
Four.
Yeah,
it was only four.
Buddy, Keselowski, this was just going to be amazing. Carl Edwards all over him. Mark yeah. Martin comes in the mix.
Yeah.
What happened?
Cap,
happened.
Kyle, but, Kyle hits you know, Keselowski.
You,
know,
you know what I think happened? I mean, what ultimately I think happened is that, and I didn't get a real hard look at it.
I didn't see it. I heard
I saw a replay, but it's a brief little bit of it. And what looks to me like happened is that Keselowski was doing his best to keep
he was on the outside, right?
Right, to keep yeah. Edwards behind him.
Okay.
Okay. And it this is just a and obviously I'm going to give Mark Martin the benefit of the doubt, but it looked to me like that whole scenario played out, and I'm not sure that maybe Carl didn't just a tiny little bit that it slowed Carl's momentum. I'm not saying Carl checked up. I don't believe that happened. But I think it might have just slowed Carl's – it slowed his momentum yeah. just enough that Mark got into the back of him. And
that was it.
You know, and you got to understand there's not a guy around – there's not a guy in racing that would feel any worse about it than Mark Martin.
Oh, that was the first thing he said, Saturday.
Continues the streak of the all-time.
Sure, he wouldn't even celebrate until he apologized.
Well, I've seen Mark Martin many, many, many times where wouldn't have required anything as significant as what happened there yesterday, and he's avoided it.
Yeah.
I mean, he when Biffle beat him at Homestead a couple years ago, the last race of the year, you know, I'm looking at that, and I'm going, all he had to do was just squeeze him.
That's all he had to do with Havoc.
You know, and
for the 500.
It's his win. And, that's a whole other matter, the Harvick thing. But we'll talk about that one later.
Great nationwide race, though, really was. Tough for Keselowski, but just a great event.
Yeah. I noticed yesterday that Mark Martin was up in the running for a while, and then he faded back, and then he finished, 10th, I think?
He got frustrated. You know, he got mired back there with the lap cars. And, and one of the things that I think he got frustrated with was the one part that was unusual about that race was there were so many lap cars.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is another reason why I say to Joe, I'm not convinced about the car. And secondly, the lap cars were like they had their own little race going on.
Yeah,
you know, they kept getting in the way.
On the restarts, too. Yeah, I mean, real bad.
I think it was like, 19 or 20 cars in the lead lap?
I think they finished with 20. And, you know, what Mark was doing, you know, they kept trying to give him two tires to get him track position, but that track position didn't last because the lap cars all got four.
Yeah.
And he was having to race all the lap. It was a mess.
But the way he raced this, it reminded me of poor Junior last year. He'd be good in the beginning. Then all of a sudden he's in Hong Kong someplace.
Let me say something about Junior real quick. We got another call, Gene. So,
okay.
I think Junior, number one, Junior ran a great race.
No question.
And I think he got all there was to get out of his race car. Okay, I think he had.
Well, if he hadn't bummed the tires on the restart.
He buzzed the tires twice.
Yes, he did buzz them.
But that's. You can say what you want, and he can blame that on himself. He can blame that on, I mean, the tires got cold and all that. But the reality is that's a driver who is overdue for a victory. He hasn't
way
won since 06.
I know.
And I'm saying to this, he's putting an excessive amount of pressure on himself. He just needs to relax, put himself in a position to win, and he'll get the win. And he'll get another win and another win and another
win.
Okay.
I'm just glad to see his success.
Hey, Gene, we got to go.
That's okay, guys. I'll listen to the rest of your show, and I'll hear you next week.
Thanks, Gene.
See you later. You too, whatever it was going to be. Okay. Roland, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I can't wait for the racing season to open it up so I can get dirt in my teeth again.
Roland, you coming out to see his evolution?
Oh, buddy, you know I'm going to be out there. I'm so relieved that I can go back to watching some dirt racing. It's really going to be great. Hey, by the way, congratulations to NASCAR for their new series sponsorship. You heard about it, didn't you?
No,
it's Pillsbury.
Pillsbury.
Since they're running these cookie cutter cars, they just came up with the right kind of broom boom sponsor.
Crickets,
man, crickets.
Right now we're 3-1 here. We've got three people that don't like the car, and Joe loves the car.
Well, you know, the car has its place, but these guys, you put them in go-karts or Legends cars, and we'd be just as happy to see them going out there. What's amazing to me with this season so far, guys, is Hendrick's non-dominance. Chevrolet being in the background. Toyota with the anticipation of running up front and hasn't, and then the Fords that didn't do anything last year and have very few teams to show for it this year, doing well. Congratulations to Ryan Newman at Daytona. That was really something.
Well, we're still digging that one up at my store, as you might expect.
Well, of course, it's a Dodge.
Right.
Ooh.
You know what I think, though, and you talk about Ford, and we were going to about blow this opportunity, but you talk about a Ford that I think deserves a lot of acknowledgement. How about Travis Quapel yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. Well said, yes.
You know, the 28, unsponsored or barely sponsored by K&N Filters, in a pure white race car with black numbers, and what did he finish, eighth or ninth?
He was in the top 10.
Yeah, it was really a phenomenal
eighth.
Okay, and I think of all the performances yesterday between he and Kenny Schrader, those were the two best performances out there.
David Reagan as well. I mean, with a nice strong seventh. David Reagan.
One thing I can say about the new car is
you're right.
One thing I can say about the new car is it does apparently equalize a lot of driving. Okay, but then again, I don't want to see a car that any kid can get in and just and automatically works like a slot car.
It doesn't work like that.
Roland, okay, I mean, it's not that. It's that car is the problem with it is that car is not easy to drive. Okay, it's the opposite of what you're saying. That car is like driving a 1975 Chevrolet Laguna. I mean, it's that hard to drive. This is the difference why some of these guys have such a hard problem with it is because it's so completely different, and it doesn't behave the way the other cars did. It's actually, you're not real sure what animal you have when you go there, and that's what the problem is.
What a concept. You mean they've put the driving back into the racing?
That's the point. Yes, they've put the driving back into racing. I can't wait to hear what happened to Jimmy Johnson's car. I can promise you that car is back at Hendricks, and they'll have that thing cut in pieces trying to figure that one out. Really?
Well said. It's going to be an interesting season. I tell you what, it's been driving the odds makers really crazy. So, you know, I look for it from that perspective. You never know who's going to win from week to week, and I think that's the way it ought to be.
Well, I don't think, you know what's interesting, and you're right. This is one of the great things about what's going on with NASCAR right now is there is no clear-cut favorite. Certainly after three races, you might say, well, Roush seems to have their deal together because they had, you know, Kenseth and Carl Edwards really giving it to him hard yesterday, but and again, of course, Edwards wins in California. But I don't think that because he's had success in California and success in Vegas, or the organization has, you know, Biffle ran good too yesterday. That necessarily that's going to transfer to Atlanta.
Right.
I think it's a wide open game.
Real quick, because I know you got to go. There's an amazing statement coming out of NASCAR, the Racing Commission statement today. Don't know if you brought it up. There was an appeal by Rusty Wallace Racing with the car owner Ed Rinsey and the driver David Strimme. Originally, they came up with 25 points from the driver's points, from the owner's points, and a $15,000 fine and a suspension for the next six nationwide races. Well, guess what? They looked at the evidence, and for the second time in recent history, they rescinded the penalties. An amazing thing.
We'll see what happens with the Robbie Gordon situation later this week.
I know you got to go, guys. Thanks.
Thanks,
Look forward to seeing you. Bye.
Okay. He kind of gave us an opportunity to talk about the Robbie Gordon thing quickly. I'm going to say this again. Obviously, I'm a Dodge guy. The fault with this Dodge thing lies with Dodge, not with Robbie Gordon. And furthermore, I also think that you know, this penalty that was levied by NASCAR is exactly the same penalty that was levied by NASCAR against Michael Waltrip. There's clearly a difference, okay? Michael Waltrip's, and I'm not blaming Michael Waltrip, but Michael Waltrip's situation, there was clear intent to gain a competitive advantage. In Robbie Gordon's place, there was no intent for that. The penalties, with all due respect, there's my favorite line, do not fit. The crime is different.
It would be unprecedented if they actually find Dodge as a manufacturer.
I don't think
it's going to happen.
I hope they do. It should not be Robbie Gordon's fault.
I agree.
It's the same part number. It doesn't make any sense for that to be the case. And I think it's fundamentally wrong. And furthermore, if you looked at the race yesterday, they made a judgment call. They should have penalized Carl Edwards.
For
they
the tire.
Did not penalize
right.
him. Because why?
TV.
It wasn't Carl Edwards or Carl Edwards' team's fault.
Right.
Okay.
Television camera.
They made a judgment decision, and they can make another judgment decision.
That's right.
Well, it's been a spirited night. We're glad you joined us. We're glad you were with us. Joe, I look forward to seeing you next Monday night.
Indeed. Thank you to Don Narone and Billy for calling us, and we'll see you all next Monday night.
Good night, everybody.